Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Breaking News. I want to start by saying I hear you all. I am going to put the timestamps in the descriptions of the episodes. I act like it's been so many people. It's been two. I'm just going to be brutally honest. But you know what? I care about those two. And if two people are asking, then that must mean that more people probably want that too. And it is totally helpful because I get it. We're not all like crazy people like me who watch every single Bravo show. Some of you actually probably have lives where you are too busy to watch every single show. So no, I'm joking, but if you watch every show, you're like me and we have lives, okay? We just really, really find that time to squeeze every Bravo show in there. But you know, not every show is for everyone. Like I live under the philosophy of like, if you watch it for long enough, you can get into it. Where there's a will, there's a way. But you know, that being said, I understand some people are more into the like Vanderpump Valley kind of shows. Some people are more into the Housewives. Like it's, you know, it's all over the place. So, okay. Reminder, I am reminded. I did it. I do it sometimes. And then sometimes I really just forget. It's really not intentional. But I'm going to do my best to remember consistently. Okay. So this is one of those weeks though. There is so much news. Like last week was one of those weeks where I was like, oh, there's like not that much going on, whatever. This week, my God, it is crazy. All right. So I don't even know where to start. Honestly, I was like, what do I start with? Okay. So what I decided to start with isn't the biggest piece of news, but to me, it was the most entertaining and funny. And I always go with funny because whatever I can laugh at, I'm down with. Okay, so we're going to start with Anna Marie from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Even if you don't watch this, please listen to this story because it's kind of hilarious. So we find, okay, this is kind of in partnership with a story of Crystal from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills getting fired. Okay, so Crystal got fired, which I don't know how I feel about it. You know, yeah, I feel like there's a lot of outcry and there's a lot of people who are like really upset about it. I'm not happy about it, but I'm not like super upset. I feel very, I don't know, like kind of neutral almost about it. Do I like Crystal? Yes, I do like Crystal for the most part. Would I have wanted to see her on another season? Yeah, I would have been fine with Crystal on another season. Do I also kind of understand why they fired her? Yeah, a little bit. Like, she doesn't really give, she could give more. Okay. Now, that being said, I think, you know, there's other housewives still on Beverly Hills who give less and are still there. So there's that. I don't know what it is with Crystal. I don't know. Maybe they just felt like her personal storyline had gone as far as it could. Like the whole thing with her brother, that was a fail, a major fail. It didn't do what maybe we thought it would. But I kind of blame that on the producers. Like they found that storyline and they kept shoving it down our throat, even though it was boring. And I just like never cared about it. But they keep doing that with Garcelle too, a little bit, like with the whole, like, you know, like I appreciated Garcelle's storyline of like getting cheated, like how she got cheated on and then dealing with that with her sons. But then they dragged it out for too many seasons. And now it's just kind of getting like, ugh. However, to me, Garcelle's a little different than Crystal because Garcelle is like a needed cog in the Beverly Hills machine. because her and Sutton are very good at kind of saying things that the rest of the Fox Force 5 ladies never used to say, or just letting things get kind of swept under the rug. Now, granted, I felt like this last season, they didn't even do it as much as I wanted them to do it. I wanted Garcelle and Sutton to push even harder, especially with Kyle, but they still do it more than everyone else. So we still need, like, we just need them to kind of break that clique up, because otherwise that clique, we know how they get, right? They as a group, they get out of control, like Erica, Dorit, Kyle, they can get, like, if there's no one there to intercept, they're very secretive. They're very much into like protecting each other and hiding things and things like that. Now, I know a lot of people are like wanting Dorit fired. I want Dorit to stay. Dorit pisses me off and she annoys me a lot. But I need to see how this PK thing plays out. Like, I felt like Dorit's storyline with PK this season, she did better and showed more than Kyle did with Mauricio. And I was more invested in it. So I kind of want to see what's going to happen with that. But I don't know. Who knows? Erica, I'm just like, I don't know. I know like Erica brought some good drama this season, but she has her good moments with her one-liners. But like, I don't feel like she's giving that much either. Like, I don't know. This cast needs, I don't know what it needs. That's the thing. They're in this weird in-between phase that a lot of shows go through, where we kind of have to go through like growing pains. And I feel like they're in the growing pains phase. Like RHOC went through that after Kelly Dodd and them got fired. And now it's kind of back to a good place. That's what we need, right? We just need to kind of get through this sort of weird, you know. The problem with Beverly Hills, though, is that their ratings are always so high that it's like, why is the network going to make huge changes when the ratings are good? Okay, I'm getting way, way off topic. I'm sorry. But the point of this whole story is that I'm a little indifferent to Crystal getting fired. You know, I'm not as moved by it as others are, but I do get why people are upset about it. So I do get it. And, you know, I understand that there are some people who maybe deserved to be fired a little bit more than Crystal. So the announcement came out on Monday about Crystal being fired, also known as like the red wedding of Bravo, as some people have been saying on Twitter, which is, if you don't know the red wedding, it's from Game of Thrones, where they killed off like a whole bunch of main characters all at once. Well, I guess I should have said spoiler alert, but listen, if you haven't watched Game of Thrones by now, it's your own fault. Okay. So it was like the red wedding. There was so much happening. Crystal getting fired was like the last big thing of the day. So I think that's why it was so like for people, because people didn't think there was going to be another announcement like this, but there was. So Anna Marie, who we already knew was fired, you know, and I've covered her prior meltdowns on social media over it / her husband's. So she decides that she's going to put up like this little, I don't know. I think it was an Instagram story where she says basically, oh, like karma will get you. To quote it exactly, I don't care how good you play victim, that karma gonna still tear your ass up. And then two laughing face emojis. Okay. So then the next thing that happened was that on Twitter, so of course, actually, before I even get to what happened on Twitter, so then people were kind of clowning Anna Marie, like, you're also fired. So like, why are you, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. And like, why are you shading her about getting fired? You were literally fired. So it was just whatever. It was stupid. Anyways, and then there was a Twitter account, okay, on Twitter, who basically responded to Anna Marie and retweeted. And hang on, I have it here. And they said, worry about your transphobic rapist husband. So that was what the tweet said. And the tweet came from the account Crystal's Minkoff. So if you look at it closely, right, it's clearly a parody account. But, you know, the name, so not the handle, but the name on Twitter does say Crystal Minkoff. And then it has Crystal's profile picture. So, you know, at first glance, even when I first saw it, I was like, whoa, did Crystal really write that? But then I looked at the account because I was kind of like, I feel like Crystal wouldn't, I just feel like she wouldn't go so hard so quickly. I don't know. It just, something was off. So I went and looked. I'm like, okay, it's not her account. First of all, the account has like 1,000 followers or something like that. Crystal would have way more. And second of all, Crystal's Minkoff, like that's not her, obviously. And there's a lot of like parody accounts on Twitter floating around. And because what's his name? Elon Musk decided to screw up the whole verification thing. You know, it's not as easy to tell because people can buy blue check marks and and I know now they have that gold check mark thing, but still people are just confused because a lot of real, you know, celebrity famous people will have an account and not necessarily have a blue or gold check. So it is easier to kind of get fooled. So really this is all Elon Musk's fault. No, I'm just joking, but for real, that was what was written by this parody account. Okay. So I retweeted it and just wrote, you know, just a heads up, everyone, this is not actually Crystal's account. It's a fan account. Lots of people realized, some people didn't, and they like, it was picked up by some Bravo quote unquote blogs, I guess is what we're calling, you know, like people call me like a Bravo blog and all the other accounts on Instagram, because that's just kind of like what they were called since before social media. But I saw it floating around Instagram and stuff. But, you know, most people realize pretty, and I don't blame people because, you know, I understand you can glance at something and make a mistake. And the majority of people realized pretty quickly and then edited it to be like, this is a parody account, whatever. So point of the story is that it took a little while for Anna Marie to realize that. So then she's like responding to the parody account. She's like having a whole fight with like kind of no one. Like she thinks she's fighting with Crystal, but she's not. So she responds to it. And this is what she says. So she, first of all, she puts a tweet up and she takes a screenshot of the person's Twitter account. Okay. So rather than retweeting what the tweet actually said, usually people will quote the tweet, they'll quote tweet it, okay, which is like a type of, if in case you don't use X/Twitter, if you do a quote tweet, it means whatever was originally written shows up and what you write shows up above it, okay? But she didn't do that. Instead, she just took a screenshot of the Twitter profile, attached it just like as a picture. And she wrote, false allegations against athletes are easy. Anyone with actual money knows that. So I guess she's trying to say Crystal doesn't have actual money, which I would strongly like, just, okay. It's just such a stupid point. Like Crystal's husband, like look at his position. She owns like one of the most successful, whatever water companies. She has a $91,000 freaking Hermes bag. I think she's okay. Okay. Anyways. And I don't get the vibes from Crystal that she's wasteful with money at all. You worry about your husband, the lying king. Oh, good one, Anna Marie. How long did you have that one saved up? The lying king and your brother for that matter. And then she puts like a snow emoji. I don't know if she's trying to say Crystal's brother does coke. I don't know. Oh, and that video of you blurting out the N-word getting out. Fake, woke, racist. Hashtag bring it. Hashtag R-H-O-B-H. Okay, so not only did she, though, is she arguing with a parody account, she's actually arguing with the wrong parody account, because then this account that she screenshotted in her tweet is not even the right parody account. So the one that wrote that tweet to her was Crystal's Minkoff. And the one that she put in the picture is at Kung Minkoff. And it's a different parody account because there are multiple parody accounts of, you know, most Bravo Labs who've been around for a while and are generally liked. So she's getting big time, you know, just dragged through the mud over this and really just about her tagging the wrong account and fighting with an account that's not even real. So I just thought that was such a feel-good, funny story. I mean, not the racism stuff, obviously, but just her fighting with a fake account was so funny. So apparently she's deleted it, the tweet. I guess kind of realizing that, you know, it's not actually Crystal, because a ton of people were commenting and retweeting. So yeah, so it's been a while since I've seen a housewife go out with so little dignity. Like, it's one thing to get fired or to leave on a bad note. We see that. That happens. But this is like, between her husband's rant and her rants and her, like, contradicting herself in interviews, saying how her and Garcelle were such great friends, and then 2 weeks later saying they weren't friends at all, and then just, like, and, like, just all these accusations she's throwing at Garcelle, and then now fighting with a parody account and like making fun of someone getting fired when she was fired. Like, it's just, let's have like a little bit of dignity here, Anna Marie, just like a smidge, like just go out with some semblance of pride. Okay. We would all be proud. Well, maybe not proud, but it would be better than this, certainly. So speaking of people getting fired, and dignity or lack thereof, Robin from Real Housewives of Potomac is officially out. So we kind of knew this, but, you know, like I said on last week or the week before's episode, it was not official. Okay. So Robin did confirm it on her podcast, Reasonably Shady. Her and Giselle talked about it. She got pretty emotional, you know, thanking the fans and the people who supported her and all that kind of stuff. She kind of also, like, the news around this is that she tried to sort of imply that Candace also got fired and that she did not leave on her own accord, because people are pretty convinced that Candace left, you know, by choice and that she wasn't fired. I'm not as convinced, but I'm not convinced that she was fired. I just really feel like I just don't know, because it really, really could go either way. I would like to think that she left on her own, especially knowing that she's pregnant now, which again, we'll get into shortly. But the point is that Robin was strongly implying that she was fired, almost like she was kind of trying to be like, oh, Candace needs to just admit she was fired and, you know, stop trying to pretend she's like better than people, whatever she was trying to imply. But then shortly after this was circulating and Candace is like, I'm pregnant, which, what a move. What a brilliant, brilliant move. Say whatever you want about Candace. She is intelligent. I'm sorry, but she is. She just, like, I don't know if she was already planning to announce this, but putting out that video, and it's such a touching, beautiful video of her and Chris and finding, like, not like finding out they're pregnant, but it's just like this nice kind of, like, I don't know. It's kind of like one of those videos that people do, like when they're getting married or having something like that. It's like a birth announcement or a pregnancy announcement video, and it's really nice. And, you know, she kind of like narrates it about like how they're like, we're waiting for our baby and all that. And it's really sweet. And Robin was trying to like have this shady moment and trying to, you know, kind of have Candace maybe start to get dragged on social media for pretending she quit when she was fired. But nobody gave a shit, because Candace announced she was pregnant. And not only was everybody so happy for Candace for being pregnant, everyone was like, oh, she definitely quit, because she wanted to protect her peace and protect her baby. And everyone is like convinced of that now. So sorry, Robin, it was a good try. And here's the other part. Robin could still be telling the truth, but it really doesn't matter. What matters is what people, for the most part, think and want to believe. And people are just, I don't think people even if Candace was fired, I think everyone just kind of sees that as like a blessing for Candace, like a blessing in disguise. Because even if she was fired, she needed to be, because she's pregnant now. And being on this show was so toxic and stressful for her. And if she didn't have the power, the willpower to walk away from the money or whatever on her own. I'm glad that she was kind of pushed towards it because this will be better for her as a mom. It'll be better for her pregnancy. And these women, like, they don't care about her. They weren't going to like be supportive. And it's just, I think she's going to look back and know that this was what was meant to be. I really do. So yeah, congratulations, Candace. And I'm very happy for her and glad she can have a peaceful pregnancy journey, as, you know, all women should be able to. They can't always, but they should be able to. And it's sad when they can't. All right. Let's talk about who else was fired. You know, it's bad when I'm like trying to keep straight all the people that were fired. Oh, yes. NECA. So NECA was also fired, which that one wasn't really that surprising. I don't think anyone has huge feelings about it because she was so new and she didn't make that much of a mark this season. I do think that she got a little bit of an unfair season. I don't know how else to say it, because I mean, it's somewhat her own fault because she sort of like attached herself to like Ashley and the Green-Eyed Bandits. But although she did make friends with Candace too and Karen, so there was that. But just like her whole thing with Wendy, like I'm not like 100% like Team Wendy in that situation. I like Wendy generally, but I do think that Wendy was being, was maybe a little bit like not wanting NECA to like come on as her friend and maybe steal her thunder a little bit, or I don't know. I don't really know exactly what it was, or if there was some kind of jealousy, or sometimes housewives just don't want someone to come on who runs in the same circle in any way, even if it is a distant connection, because that person could know things about them, could say things about them. You know, they might have like built this kind of like persona and character on the show, and then they're worried this person will spoil it. That does happen. Like we saw that with Phaedra and Nene. So if you look back at like the first season where when Phaedra was on Atlanta, like Nene did not want to admit that her and Phaedra kind of knew each other through growing up in the same town and going to the same high school, even if they weren't even there at the same time. I can't remember what the situation was, but you know, and Nene was pretty like about it the first season or two, but then they kind of got over it, right? And for like the exact reason that I just said, because then we found out, well, we know Phaedra was like shady AF, but Phaedra was like calling people that Nene knew from her past and like digging up information. Like maybe that was kind of Wendy's fear, because they do have mutual people they know. So I could kind of see that. So I don't know. Like, listen, if NECA was like funnier and more charismatic and whatever, I would be disappointed. But she also just kind of fell flat, like personality wise. But I do think that she was not like the full, like, quote unquote, villain in that situation. I think she had her faults in that situation with Wendy, but Wendy did too. I think Wendy didn't tell the full truth about it as well. So I could see that. But again, a lesson to all housewives for today. That goes for NECA and it goes for Anna Marie. Do not come on the show and immediately take the side of whoever the sort of quote unquote star or kind of like head bitch of the group, head bitch in charge, for lack of a better term, and just come in as their new little minion or soldier or whatever and do their bidding and do what they say. Because she came in as Ashley's friend, which NECA might not have had much choice in, but she did kind of gravitate to that side. And Anna Marie did it with Kyle, and Anna Marie's was worse, arguably. But when you do that, you know, you do risk ostracizing yourself from the rest of the group or certain people, and you also risk ostracizing yourself from the audience. Because, you know, nowadays, like the audience knows more about how reality TV works. You know, the audience will see it and they won't like you for it. And now you're fired. Okay. So let's go to our next story, which is that Todd files for divorce from Alexia. Real Housewives of Miami, which it's surprising, but not surprising. By the way, all of this news is all from one day. This news is all literally Monday news. I haven't even got past Monday. That's how insane that day was. I need a nap. I needed a nap that day. I went to bed early, I'll say that. Thank God there was no like new show I had to watch that night. Anyways, so Todd files for divorce, which, like I said, surprising but not surprising, because not surprising in the sense of if you watched last season, okay? He didn't show up for the party. So Alexia threw that party and he was like the only husband who wasn't there. And I don't know, he just seemed checked out and he just seemed a bit, I don't know, just bitter, and like he didn't seem happy, for lack of a better word. And he seemed kind of crusty towards her. And just the way he spoke to her, I found him to be kind of like rude and disrespectful. And you could tell Alexia was a little panicked. Like any scene where she talks about him or where he's brought up, etc., she just seemed very like she was trying to cover something, or maybe it was just a matter, like I don't necessarily think she was trying to hide something super big, but I do think that she knew the marriage wasn't going well and just maybe wasn't ready to admit to that yet, because I mean that happens. Look at Lisa Hochstein at the beginning of the season where we find out she's getting cheated on. She was like, we're still in love, right, honey? Like having that dinner for him. And like, she was like, you know, she was still trying to like push it and make it work. And, you know, a lot of people do that in relationships. They want it to work. They don't want it to fail. They want to fight for a marriage. And I'm not surprised it was Todd as the one who filed. I mean, let's be honest. He seems like kind of an asshole. He always has. You know, I didn't mind when he stood up to like her son, Peter, but again, that was just cause like the lesser of two assholes. So it doesn't make Todd that much better, but you know, I'm kind of indifferent about Todd. I don't think he's like the worst housewife's husband, but I also don't think he's like a great guy either. And it seems like to me, there might be some financial issue. Like that's the sense I'm getting, because this last season, a lot of it was about the finances, and Todd's finances are in trouble and Alexia has to go look for a new place to live because they maybe can't afford where they are living. And it seemed like they were downgrading a little bit, but then Todd's not even showing up when she's going apartment hunting and they have to move out so quickly. Like, it's just like when they don't want to film, they don't want to be there with you, they're not supporting their wife and all this stuff. Like, that's just not a good sign. Plus, maybe there was something with his business, and finances can cause issues in marriages. That can happen no matter what income level you're at. Whether you're rich, middle class, poor, like that, a big sudden change in a negative way can cause stress, right? So I can see that. So I have definitely some sympathy for Alexia. I mean, that's her, third marriage? So I'm sure she'll find a fourth. I could see it for her if she wants one. Either way, we will see this play out next season, I'm sure. And I mean, I always thought Alexia was going to get a new contract, but now we've got pretty much a guarantee. So let's get into some Vanderpump Rules news. I know all you Vanderpump fans are waiting for it. So Schwartz was on the Nick Viall podcast, the Viall Files, which seems to be the podcast that everybody's going on. But anyways, he was on with his new 23-year-old girlfriend. So I pulled out just like a couple key points. So one thing was that she overlooks his quote unquote baggage. Yeah, of course she does. She's 23. Like, it's when you're 23, you're not as worried about that stuff as, you know, a 40-year-old woman would be, who's maybe, you know, looking to settle down, or who just understands what, you know, maybe in a deeper way, what dealing with a guy with baggage really entails and what it can lead to. Like, of course, this is why Schwartz wants a 23-year-old. And this is, I do not mean any shade or insult to 23-year-olds, but it's just, it's going to be easier for him because a 23-year-old also can have more fun because they're younger. That's just a fact. When you are younger, you have more time and you have more patience for, you know, this kind of stuff. And you're not necessarily like looking to get married tomorrow and have a baby tomorrow. So you're like, okay, cool. So Schwartz did not waste any time, you know, insulting his ex-wife while he was on the Nick Viall podcast. He just basically made a comment. Okay, so Nick asked him about the whole like Lala, Katie of it all, whatever this argument is that they're having that I'm still not sure what it is because it seems like Lala just made it up out of nowhere. But they ask him about it and he's like, yeah, you know, like Katie can be like, you know, I know she said that Katie's miserable and that can be true. And basically he said Lala is seeing kind of what he had to put up with a lot. Okay, Schwartz. So listen, Schwartz is still Schwartzing, okay? He's never going to change and he's going to keep doing this. He's divorced. She's not even with you anymore. She's moved on. You moved on. You're sitting there right next to your girlfriend and he is still trying to make Katie into the villain of their relationship. He spent his whole relationship on TV doing it and he will spend his whole divorce doing it too. And I think that there's a sick, sick part of him that enjoys it. Like I think him and Tom are so deeply misogynistic that they don't know how to not blame women for everything. So there's that. And then there's also, and I do think that on some level they hate women. I really do. I really honestly think that. And then I also think that at the same time, they just don't know how to take accountability. And I think being on the show, you know, and their popularity for all those years before their masks kind of slipped off a lot gave them a very inflated sense of ego, being surrounded like by a lot of people telling them that they're so funny and so cool and they're the best, and Lisa naming a restaurant after them. Like, men already have big egos, so you know that's gonna just spin it out of control, right? And they're still both doing this. Everything is my ex's fault. Everything is everyone else's fault. Besides, like, the two guys, and he cannot take accountability. They just can't. And even when Schwartz does, it's really just like this fake puppy dog kind of like, oh, I'm self-deprecating. Everyone feel bad for me. So again, he's still pulling this crap and I'm honestly so over it. I really am. Like, I can't even take this anymore. Okay, what else did Tom Schwartz have to say? So Schwartz also says that he had a valid reason for pulling away from Joe. Was it that she started to have feelings for you and want a relationship? Whatever it was, he continued sleeping with her, so it couldn't have been that bad. And of course he's not going to tell us because it's probably not that valid, or it's probably just like, yeah, I just wasn't into it anymore, which again, that's actually fine. You're allowed to date someone and change your mind. You're allowed to date someone and then realize that you're not as into them as you thought, or that it's run its course or whatever. Just admit it. This is my issue with these men. They can never take responsibility for anything. Like, even something that it's okay to be responsible for. Well, I guess because he knows he let her on at this point. So that's probably why. So then they ask Schwartz about, you know, if him and his new girlfriend, well, they ask the girl actually if they are, you know, quote unquote official. And the reason that I even talk about this, because I really don't give a shit about Schwartz's relationship, but he's like, you know, I don't want to put pressure on it because we're enjoying our time together. But he says he's so happy. And you know, when he saw her, it was like in the movies or whatever. And she says basically that, you know, they definitely love each other. Which, okay. And that they're almost official, whatever the hell that means. That sounds like something that Tom Schwartz is feeding to her so that he doesn't have to be fully committed, and that he's, so he still has a little bit of a longer window to cheat. This is my girlfriend, but we're not official official. We're almost official. So yeah, I can sleep with you tonight. Like, we know that's what he's doing. And then she says, yeah, we're almost official, but you know, I just want to wait till we're in the most perfect place. Okay. I'm not trying to be mean here. But what a dumb thing to say. I'm sorry. What does that even mean? Like, relationships, we're trying to be in the most perfect place. Okay, well, that's never going to happen because you're two imperfect people. And Schwartz is really imperfect. He's like extra imperfect. And relationships take work. And there's going to be ups and downs and hills and valleys. And there's no like, okay, now that it's, you know, August 17th and we're in the perfect place, we can start our relationship and it'll just be smooth sailing forever. It's just very naive. It's a very naive thing to say. Okay. The other thing that he says is that he was like kind of, I don't know, weirded or disgusted out, like watching himself on the show. Sorry, disappointed is what he says. Because he was slouchy, spazzy, and uncouth, which I, okay. Did you not watch like seasons 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? Because you were the same all those seasons. I don't know what he thinks happened this season that was so different. I don't know. And he's literally saying this, by the way, because this is like a podcast where they film it and you can watch them. He's literally sitting there with no shoes on in the podcast studio. Everyone else is wearing shoes and socks. He is sitting there in his bare feet and he puts them up on the coffee table multiple times and they don't look particularly clean. I'll just say that. Okay. And in Jax Taylor news, Jax has, you know, been in a little bit of trouble because he went on, where was it? Was it Instagram? I believe it was a comment on Instagram. Basically, it was talking about how his son has been regressing, sorry, in terms of his speech. And he made a comment and he basically said, I'm not saying it has anything to do with vaccines, but what else could it be? Okay, so you are saying that. Because if you say what else could it be, then you're saying that it is that. And again, listen, I take everything Jack says with a grain of salt, but I understand why people were outraged by this. And the worst thing about it is that, you know, it brought out a lot of anti-vax people and arguments and things like that and was just like out of control and crazy. Again, you know, this is why sometimes you have to be careful with who is given a platform, but listen, is anyone taking medical or vaccine advice from Jax? Like, are they? I mean, if they are, they probably already have issues, right? And they probably would already make bad decisions in life. If you're taking any sort of medical advice or influence from Jax Taylor, then I think you need to just stop, take a breath, and, you know, maybe go look at yourself, get some therapy, something like that. Because it's Jax. I don't know what else to say. Probably don't listen to anything he says. Because we also know that he is just a known liar. Okay. The other thing about Jax is that he, in an interview, talked about, you know, why he's quote unquote upset with Lisa Vanderpump. So apparently he is upset because she didn't call him and Brittany after his son Cruz was born to, you know, congratulate them or anything like that. And also because she didn't call or reach out when him and Brittany announced their separation. Which, I mean, I kind of see where he's coming from with this in the sense, because he says like Vanderpump Rules was such a big part of my life. I thought Lisa and I had a kind of like, you know, he says like mother-son type of relationship. But at the same time, he left on such a bad note. And it wasn't like just a bad note of him and the other cast members. It was with Lisa directly. Like, he was getting all up on his high horse saying it was his show. His ego was out of control. He was being rude to Lisa. And like, you know, it didn't seem like they really left on good terms. So you know, I can kind of understand why she didn't reach out. And then on the other side, I can also see him feeling like, well, now that I'm not on the show, she doesn't give a shit about me anymore. Like, she's kind of like uses you, you know, to make money or whatever, because you're bringing drama for her show and she's making money off of that. And then when you're no longer useful to her, she's throwing you away. I can see that perspective too. And there's probably some truth to it, if we're going to be honest. All right. And we also have some news about Ms. Joe from Vanderpump Rules. So, okay. So there's some Joe T floating around the internet right now. So basically, somebody sent this to Drunk Drawn, which is basically an Instagram account where, you know, they do these funny like caricature drawings of pop culture, famous people, including a lot of times Bravo, moments from Bravo shows. So they got some tea about Joe. So again, keep in mind, this is like internet, you know, unverified tea, but you know, I bring you verified and unverified here, so why not? Okay, just a little tea. I honestly do feel bad for her right now and the way production dangled her in front of that cast like chum. But an ex of mine from the mid-2010s suddenly began getting weekly quote-unquote haircuts from her in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So naturally, she became a person of interest. He ended up cheating on me with quote-unquote Joseph, real name Kaylee. We broke up, and then they moved to LA together to live out some bizarre spiritual journey, similar to what Schwartz said about them going on a journey. I haven't revisited this stuff emotionally for so long, but Vanderpump Rules is my fave show, and now she's on it? Rude. So that's the DM. So I guess this girl's ex was getting these haircuts from this girl who apparently used to live in Milwaukee. He cheated with Joe. So cheated on his girlfriend with Joe. Then they moved to California together, or LA, and had this like spiritual journey, and I guess broke up eventually. So then people started kind of like looking into it. You know, Kaylee. So her real name is actually Kaylee Wenberg. Okay, an old Twitter profile was found, among other things. There was a couple like little snippets from like, I don't know if it was like school newspaper kind of things, like something like that, of her looking much more average, I guess, just in terms of like how she was styled and all that. You know, so people are like, oh God, it's another, you know, Raquel Rachel with the fake name, etc. But yeah, not surprised that, you know, she was sleeping with a guy with a boyfriend, because I said this last week, I've said it before and I'll say it again, she gives me Rachel vibes. Comes on the show, clearly, you know, is like cozying up with the guys, thinks that Schwartz is going to treat her differently because she's special and, you know, doesn't really care about, you know, the women in the group, etc. And then tries to act victim when they don't like her. So same kind of pattern as Raquel had. And then Joe also recently decided to come at Kristen Doty and basically saying that she was upset that Doty, diagnosed her mental health, because basically Kristen said that she feels like Joe has social anxiety sometimes. So Kristen replied and was like, we haven't spoken in 1.5 years. I didn't talk shit about her mental health. I said she gets social anxiety at times, in brackets, which is true and also not a negative thing. Which, I mean, based on what we saw in the episode, it does kind of look like she might get social anxiety sometimes. And again, I kind of agree with Kristen, like that's not that big of a deal. And it's not really a diagnosis, because a lot of people just get anxious in social situations. That's not like you are this or that. That's just, I get anxious in this situation. You know, and anxiety, you don't have to have a mental health diagnosis to feel anxious at times. So I got to go with Kristen on this one for sure. Right. And a couple more Vanderpump Rules related news. Lala unfollows Katie and Ariana. When asked about it, she gave this really long, bullshit, convoluted type of answer that made no sense, about how she likes the numbers to be like kind of equal, something like that. I don't know. And basically that's the reason that she unfollowed them. She needed to unfollow like two people to have the numbers line up in some way. I don't know. Just admit that you're mad at them and you don't want to follow them anymore. Like Lala always talks about just being so honest and standing in it and all this kind of stuff. And then she can't just do that. Like it is so clear as day that she's got an issue with them now. So, you know, and I also think she's doing it for attention, right? Because unfollowing them is a way to get people to notice because she knows fans are going to notice. She could mute them and no one would know. But of course, she unfollows. People are going to see that. People are going to ask questions and then she's going to answer it. And then it's going to cause more drama and so on and so on and so on, which is exactly what she wanted. Oh, yes. And we do have one more Vanderpump Rules story, which is that basically Jax called out Sheena, kind of implying that she's always out partying. She leaves her daughter to be raised by her grandmother. So Sheena talked about this on her podcast and she gets very emotional and basically says, you know, why should I take the opinion of somebody who does cocaine? I don't know. Like she says, you know, considering his pasta habits, which we know she's, you know, that has become kind of like a running joke that pasta is code for cocaine. But basically that he does coke and parties a lot and has no right to be criticizing her, which I fully agree with her because I don't know on what planet Jax thinks that he should have any sort of say or opinion over the way that someone mothers. And I have seen some people be like, oh, Sheena is out a lot and did it. I'm like, well, you don't really know how much she's out. You know, every time she's out because she puts it on social media, because that's kind of her job. Like she is like a public figure. Also, a lot of the events are at night and kids go to bed really early. Like when my daughter was Summer's age, she used to go to bed at like 6. And if my mom was there and she was just asleep, why can't I go out? What does it matter? She's asleep. Like there's also, it's so funny because no one ever, like if you had like a more, you know, whore, just say you had a woman who was like more poor and she had to work, you know, she worked like a low paying job and she had to work like 60 hours a week. And people are like, wow, she's so strong and she does everything she can to provide her kids with whatever they need. But then when you have a mom like Sheena, who maybe doesn't have to work as long hours, but has to do more like public appearances and like party-ish kind of stuff, it's like, oh, she's irresponsible. Like it's just like a weird criticism, especially coming from Jax, who literally like looks like he's on coke every episode, whether he's at home with Brittany and his son or with his friends. So I don't know who Jax is to, again, be criticizing anybody. Okay. In other news, Real Housewives of Atlanta news. Kenya is officially back. So we are happy about that. I don't have a ton to say about it, except that I'm not surprised at all. And I'm happy about it. Oh, yes. And Portia's ex, Simon Gobadia, has been hanging out with her ex, Dennis, who is the father of her baby. So he's been hanging out with Fallon, the ex-wife of Simon. Like, I don't know if they're just doing it to get under Portia's skin or if they're actually friends, but it's kind of funny, I have to say. So I think we're like really going to have a good season of Atlanta and I am very excited about it, especially since there's no Real Housewives on right now. Like, what kind of a drought is this? I am not happy about it. In Real Housewives of Orange County news, Jennifer Pedranti and Ryan are engaged. So this was like the guy that everyone was warning her about because he's like cheats a lot and he seems like he's like a fuckboy and all this stuff. But nope, they got engaged. They did a People exclusive. He proposed to her in the Bahamas and they have all this like, you know, pictures of it. And of course, she's wearing a little teeny bikini and he's in his bathing suit with his abs out. They're just like, so that type of couple. And I mean, it. Listen, this engagement suits them. They stayed authentic to who they are. So I appreciate that. I do kind of appreciate that they're engaged because I think it's going to bring, again, some good future drama to RHOC. So, you know, we look forward to that. Thank you, Jen and Ryan. Okay, and last two pieces of news. First of all, Teresa Giudice from The Real Housewives of New Jersey took a picture at Coachella with Taylor Swift. I am so glad that Taylor Swift has somehow connected herself or has some type of connection now to the Bravo world. We know Rihanna does. You know, we know Nicki Minaj does. We know there's a lot of celebrities who I think are like closet Bravo fans. We know Beyonce, you know, admitted she watched Atlanta once upon a time. Like, I need more of this. Okay. I need every celebrity who watches Bravo to start admitting it. I'm not saying Taylor Swift watches Bravo. There's more of a chance that she does now that I've seen this picture. And I think it's hilarious because what an odd pairing to Taylor Swift and Teresa. Oh, Melissa's probably so annoyed somewhere about that because that picture was everywhere. People were making memes about it and just it was hilarious. Okay. Last piece of news today is in relation to Roni and the new season of Roni. So apparently they have added Rebecca Minkoff as a new Real Housewife of New York. So my first reaction was, oh, good. Another fashion designer who has a brand to protect, who probably won't want to get that involved in the conflict and drama because they're going to be super hyper aware of their image and also is probably coming on just to shill products. I'm so glad we have two of those people now. Okay, that was my very, very negative, cynical take. I could be completely wrong. Maybe she's going to come on and be amazing. I don't know. But it doesn't even matter because the part of it that I had not considered and didn't know about, if I'm going to be honest, is that Rebecca Minkoff is apparently a Scientologist who, according to many people, she, you know, online, you can Google this. She's a Scientologist and I guess was asked about it once upon a time and kind of lied about it or tried to cover it up. But she is like a big Scientology supporter and gives a lot of money to whatever the part of their organization is that kind of like goes after ex members and tries to like discredit them and make them look crazy. So there's a lot of people, you know, tweeting about this and upset about this and who don't want her on the show for this reason. But then there's other people who are like, well, you know, maybe this is something that she's going to get questioned about, etc., which I don't know about that. I just don't know if these women have what it takes to do that. Maybe Uba does. Possibly. I mean, maybe some of them do to get the heat off of them. There's that. But I just don't like, we know Jenna's not doing it. That's for sure. I don't know. And I can just see like Jessel gives me such like starstruck vibes. Like I really think that, you know, like which, oh, rubbing shoulders with Tom Cruise. Like I just think that Jessel's going to be so like, oh my God, someone who's a celebrity, that she'll just be blinded by that. She probably won't even think about anything else except I just need more celebrity contacts in my life, which is again, part of the reason that I love Jessel because she's so just like, you know, out to lunch in her own way. And then, but Aaron, maybe Bryn or Sai might bring it up. Uba's probably our best chance because she seems to be the most like willing to, you know, bring things up that others don't want to talk about. And she's the most honest in those, in that way as well. But yeah, I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know. Okay. It could make for a really good season, but it also could make for a really bad season. So yeah, that's a tough call, but you know, people are not happy. A lot of tweets about it, a lot of people bitching about it. So I don't know, maybe they're going to walk it back. Andy already confirmed it, so it's happening. All right. Okay, everyone. Thank you so much for listening today. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Please leave a 5-star review. Please, please, please. And, you know, a nice, like, positive review would be great. Help me out if you enjoy the show. And until next time, you are now in the know for everything Bravo. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.